Yes! Oh yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side Project Podcast. How is everybody doing, man? How is everybody doing, man? Hope you guys are doing good. You guys see the new zip-up hoodies? I know you guys saw from last week, right? The 100th episode, 100 episodes, released the special 100th episode merch, and that was the Chivas and Juice Head merchandise. It was Chivas and Juice Head tees, Chivas and Juice Head hoodies, and a Chivas and Juice Head mug. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, it's up on the screen if you're watching, but if you're just listening, it's a Beavis and Butthead inspired side project designed by my brother Zathaniel. And it was in honor of, for those that are tuning in more so recently, and you saw, at least for the last episode, you saw Juice Box here. Juice was originally my co-host who was here every episode, almost every episode. It was only a couple solo episodes over time, but every episode. And he's currently on a prolonged hiatus in a sense, and he comes in when he can. And it was in honor of 100 episodes, I released the Chivas and Juice Head merchandise. You can get that now alongside this Chazosaurus mug. Everything is available on the Side Project merch store right now. Links are in descriptions and bios and everywhere and all that good stuff. But anyway, I won't waste any more time here today because, ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman that we have on today is a jack of all trades in a way, being a lecturer of English and assistant director of the journalism program at Kingsborough Community College in Brooklyn, New York, chairman of the City University of New York Journalism Discipline Council, founder and editor-in-chief of ReviewFix.com, senior writer at Old School Gamer Magazine, an accomplished voice actor for a slew of video games. He is the author of The Minds Behind the Games book series. He is the creator, the writer for the astounding new comic Condry, and the co-founder for the upcoming Legacy Comics imprint, having his works mentioned by Disney, Nintendo, and EA Sports. Please welcome back, here for the second time, Patrick Hickey Jr.
Nobody intros better than you do. Like,
thank you, man. I appreciate that. How you been, though, man? How you been?
I've been great. Really busy. I think we spoke in 2020, and yeah, 2020 yeah. was so much fun, despite the pandemic and stuff.
Right. Yeah. The last time I spoke with you, we were getting to know one another a bit better, learned a bit more about your backstory, the passion you have for the video games industry, and that you were steadily working on new entries for your Minds Behind the Games book series. But since I spoke to you last, you've come out with a comic book series and you're building a comic book company of your own with the intention of giving writers and artists the control that they deserve. You're planning on launching with not only a fresh 4 comics, Athos, The Job, Croom, The Legend of the Night Owl, but also a 24-page issue of your hit comic, Condry. This is a feat for sure, man, one that I have absolute faith in. But before we dive even further into the Legacy Comics backstory and what's to come, I haven't had the opportunity to speak with you about Condry since its release. So if you don't mind, let's get everybody caught up to speed here as well. Yeah. Tell those who may be unfamiliar with your comic book, Condry, a little bit about precisely what it is and what they can expect.
Yeah, so Condry is an old school crime noir that is inspired by comics such as Daredevil and Spawn, Sam and Twitch, films like Highlander,
right.
Those old school, like really gritty noir films, Sin City, Frank Miller, Garth Ennis, some Brian Michael Bendis. So it's just like, it's like a nice combination of 80s and 90s grit.
Nice.
It's about a homeless man that has basically been thrown out by the system. And he's been on the hunt for the people that are responsible for his father's death. He's never got any help from anybody. And he just continues to like put the pieces together. And every issue he gets a little bit closer to finding out like what's really going on. And mm-hmm. it's just, It's a lot of fun. It's really dark so far. Like the first four issues have been really dark. It's going to get a little bit, I don't want to say different, but there's going to be more emotion, more characters interjected as the series goes on. But as of right now, it just like, if I could combine it, it's kind of like the first 20 issues of Spawn mixed with like some really good Bendis Daredevil and Frank Miller Batman, like all mixed into one.
Yes, exactly. And I get that, man. I get that vibe from it, man. Sometimes I look to entertainment as an escape from the real world. And when there's too much of the nonsense I deal with in life and what I'm looking for as an escape, it rubs me the wrong way. But on the contrary, you have a real way of connecting this series to the real world, something I think that can make readers feel connected to the series in return, such as a panel from issue zero here. It says, Condry says, rather, people are so goddamn sad. Everyone wants likes so bad they forget to live. They've never had to fight. Fuck that. Fuck them. Fuck every single cupcake pic on Instagram. None of it's real anyways. Sometimes when you throw in little moments of such, it's that realism that connects and relates to the reader on another level. And you take it even further, or maybe rather, Condry takes it even further and really brings that point home. And I dig that, man. And people are going to have to just go read for themselves to understand more about exactly what I'm talking about. And you do it again in issue number one, where the old lady leaving the grocery store makes a statement about being home before Seinfeld starts. So we know that Seinfeld exists in the Condry universe. Is there any chance of Jerry Seinfeld appearing in the Condry comic in like an improv store or something or whatever?
That would be a lot of fun. What's the deal with airplane food? You know, like that would be great. You know, there's going to be tons of pop culture references and stuff like that, because I just feel like, again, that makes it super palatable. Like, not to give too much away, but in the first full issue of Condry coming up, like his origin story is really broken down, and the home invasion that takes place actually takes place in the home that I grew up in.
Like, oh, wow. Okay.
So, nice. You know, like I've like taken photos of the property that's now abandoned and stuff like that. And I've given them to my artist and stuff like that. And I kind of like gave him like the lay of the land, if you're from Brooklyn, which
my family is. Yeah.
So it's like,
my family's from Bay Ridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So like it takes place in like Gravesend, in Bay Ridge, and in Flatbush, in Borough Park. So it's like all over Brooklyn.
Awesome.
If you read Condry 3, the Halloween issue, there's a scene where he's walking and he's basically like walking on the map of Brooklyn.
Awesome.
You know, and so it's definitely like as the series goes on, you're going to see it gets a little bit more fantastical, but it's definitely grounded in reality. And there's definitely like a huge part of me in that character, like just the
right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You've definitely taken some inspiration from your own life and things that you've been through and all that. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I wrote it when I was 18. I'm 38 now. 18. I got in a serious car accident, and I was really like angry at the world, you know. Yeah. And it was just like, this was like MySpace time and like, you know, AOL Instant Messenger.
Yes.
And you would have these people, man, like on like your friends on MySpace that you know in real life that are like nobody, you know, and they have like 9,000 friends and they're like keyboard warriors, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would always be like the type of person where if I have something to say, I'm not going to put it on a MySpace or a Zanga, you know, post Zanga. Or something like that. Remember Zanga?
Oh my God, dude. Hit me in my nostalgia right now, dude.
Like I'm going to tell you. Straight out, you know, and that's how Condry is, you know. Condry is just the type of person where if something needs to be said, he's going to say it. If something needs to get done, he's going to do it, you know. So, and because of that, he doesn't have a lot of friends, but he's going to meet people that can help him and will help him. And it's going to be really interesting who those people are, because they're kind of cut from the same cloth. They've kind of been given up on by society. So it's just like, in Condry 1, Sarita, she is definitely going to be a big part of the series moving on. And she's somebody too. She's like all alone. You know, her husband's gone, and she's got like her 45-year-old son living with her, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a character. When you guys meet him, he's going to add some comedy to the series. But
nice, dude.
He's a tough guy too. Like he's not like, you know, some, you know, punk or anything like that. But it gets a lot of fun moving on. So I'm excited.
I feel like the look of Condrey very much so complements the feel portrayed within the story. Illustrator Kieran X. Quinn did a phenomenal job bringing watercolor style pencil work, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
to the flawed world of the comic. Was that something you wanted specifically, something the two of you discussed, or was that aspect solely the works of Kieran?
So it's so funny that you said that, because there's a Daredevil run that Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack did. And it's basically about like some little kid that's like in a hospital bed, and he watched a crime take place, and the little kid is just like imagining all of these things. And it's all done in this like very dream state watercolor, and it's all David Mack. Right. And it's one of my favorite Daredevil runs of all time. So when Kieran and I were like discussing everything, I told him I wanted it very gritty, very dirty, very grungy. And I didn't know he was going to do it in watercolor. When he did, I was over the moon, because it was just like there was like this subconscious Vulcan mind meld that had taken place. And he just totally got like the way I wanted it to look. And it's funny, because when we were going over the panels for Condrey 3, I told him, I'm like, this started off very much like Frank Miller, David Mack looking, but it's kind of evolved. And it looks very much like the Goon from Eric Powell, who I love. You know, so it's just like now it's like a combination of like it's a combination of like all of the things that I love. And like Kieran's work was never bad, but it's evolved over the last like year. And I think he's one of the best artists that no one knows about.
Yeah, Kieran did an absolutely phenomenal job bringing everything that I'm assuming what you wanted to life. But did you guys play with any art styles before locking this in with what you ended up with? Or did he just show you this and you ran with it?
No, this is, he showed me this and I was just like, dude, we're good. And we work very differently than the average writer creative team. So usually the way a writer and an artist work is the writer sketches out everything in storyboard and is like, this panel, this goes here, this panel, this goes here. And
right.
I had done that with three other artists before I met Kieran for Condrey, and all three artists just didn't cut the mustard, so to speak. Like it didn't work.
Yeah, it happens.
So I'm a writer. I write books, you know? So I'm just like, at that point, I didn't know if this comic was ever going to happen. And this is like March of like 2019. And I'm just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just write a fiction novel of this. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm just going to turn it into a book series, you know? So I started writing out everything like that. And then what happened was my buddy introduced me to Kieran. So then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of giving him this like very like assembly line style of doing it, like draw this in this panel, I'm gonna just give him like the first like 10 pages of the book, mm-hmm. and be like, let's see what you do. Damn. and he read this, like he read the prose, you know, and he was just like, bro, it got me super excited, you know. So now whenever we have to do another issue, because I mean I have Condrey written for like the next year and a half.
Nice.
I just go to him and I give him like the next chunk of text that I think should take up like the next issue. And I'm like, mm-hmm. go to work, you know, like, so it gives him a ton of creative freedom. And what I do is after he does the art, I go in and then I adjust the story to kind of like fill in some of the gaps and things like that. So it's just like, it creates a lot more work for me as a writer.
Of course,
because again, if you're from Marvel or DC, it's just like you go to the artist and you're like, you put this here, you put that there. And I'm giving him a lot of freedom, and I can't work that way with every artist. I'm working with other artists now, and it's kind of like we have to plan out each panel and stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I have a really unique working experience with Kieran and how we get stuff done. So.
Yeah, you guys seem kind of like you're on an even keel, knowing what one another wants. And he seems like he's connected to Condrey, too. Like, he really feels that he's really connected to it. He's putting out awesome work.
Yeah,
and
he's great.
Certain aspects of the art style also that personally remind me of the comic book The Max. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I love David Keith. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Or certain aspects of Frank Miller's work, which you've mentioned before.
But it's so funny, because if you look at Condrey 2, mm-hmm. that cover of him like in the hospital window, I showed Kieran I think it's like the Max number 7 or something like that, and I'm like,
no way, dude.
Yeah, and I was like, bro, we need to do something like this, because I love the Max.
That's crazy, because that's like the vibe yeah. that I got in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if you took any inspiration from that fully or whether it be the writing or the art style when creating all aspects of Condry, but were there any other comics or any ones that you mentioned or any other ones that you pulled inspiration from?
Oh yeah. Like the whole Daredevil, Guardian Devil storyline, because I mean, that's kind of written the same exact way. Cause like, I remember watching a documentary where like Joe Quesada is like, Kevin Smith just gave me an entire like movie script and said, make it into a comic book. And I was like, no, you have to put everything in the panels for me. And Kevin Smith was like, well, what are you, an idiot? Like, you're an artist, like do something, do something with the story. And then what happened was as they would go on from issue to issue, Kevin Smith learned how to become a comic book writer. Like he started like writing more the way Quesada wanted. But
yeah,
I mean, Daredevil, Guardian Devil, some of like the really good Punisher stuff, definitely played a role. This happened later in later issues, but Donnie Cates' Venom stuff, like, in terms of creating engaging dialogue and a broken character, like his portrayal of like Eddie Brock is just somebody that is super powerful, but super broken. And I mean, that's not a Donnie Cates like original, that like goes back to like, cause I mean, I'm a literature professor too. Alexandre Dumas and like the Count of Monte Cristo, like, you know, that's like, that's all that, you know, that's, there's some Shakespeare in there and stuff like that. So, yeah, Condry is definitely like a buffet of like broken, strong, underdogs, so to speak, you know? So
yeah, I'm loving it, man. Like honestly, Condry is an awesome story so far. I've read the issues, man. You guys need to go and read it. I'll put all the links in the description below and all that good stuff. But for now, let's talk Legacy Comics, man. You have a Kickstarter running for the imprint that was funded in less than 5 hours. It's currently doubled its asking price and still on the rise, and there's a good reason for it as it's building up to be a great company for its employees and its readers alike. With your co-founder, I always feel like I'm gonna mess up his name, man. I should know this. John Svedesi. What is it? Say it again one more time.
Svedesi.
There we go. Okay. All right. For your team, you're giving all creators the exclusive rights to their characters and IPs. And for the fans, you're giving them a slew of new explosive noir and sci-fi superhero tales. There's so much to unravel here. So why don't we just start from the beginning? What brought you to say, with everything I have going on, I'm just going to go and create my own comic book company while I'm at it? I mean, how did Legacy Comics start?
So Legacy Comics started from the end of my run at Lesser Known Comics. So Condry, like I said, I wrote Condry 20 years ago. And then what would happen is I would go through some time with an artist and it wouldn't click. So then I would go back to what I'm good at, which is nonfiction writing, journalism, interviews, things like that. And then every couple of years I would be like, yo, I need to get back on Condry. It's good. Everyone that's read it has told me it's good. I need to get on it. And I just couldn't get an artist. So then finally, like around March of 2019, I met Kieran. By August, we were finished with what would become Condry Zero. And we pitched that to like Image and Dark Horse, but like they weren't accepting like new comics and things like that.
Disappointing.
So then what happened was Mark Bernal from Lesser Known Comics contacted me one day on Instagram and was like, oh, do you want to interview me for Review Fix? And I was just my site. And I was like, okay. So I did some research on him. I did like a nice little Q&A and it did really good traffic. And after it was over, he goes to me, if there's ever anything I can do for you. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, because I interview people all the time. Yeah. You know, like I love interviewing indie musicians, comic book writers, artists, like whatever. Yeah. It's just par for the course, you know. Yeah. But then it was like light bulb.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, actually, let me send you something.
I got something for
and
you.
Like an hour.
Yeah.
Like an hour later, he was like, yeah, we need to talk. We need to we need to sign you guys, blah, blah, blah.
That's awesome.
So we did Condry 0, 1, 2, and 3 with them. Kieran is also doing another book with them now.
Oh, great.
That looks absolutely awesome. But it was just, I just felt like it was a situation where I couldn't grow nearly as much as I wanted to. There was creative differences. So it was just like, originally Condry wasn't going to be a part of Legacy. I was going to do Legacy anyway because I had been under the learning tree for 10 months at this other comic book company. And I'm right, just like, right. Well, they're doing it like this. Well, what if we do it like this? And what if they're doing that? Well, I would do it like that. And you always learn. And John is super talented. He's a great artist, but he's great at video editing. He's good at website development. It's like all the things that I can't do, he can do. All the things that I can do, he can't do. And we just, you know, so we were originally going to have.
Is he the one that put together all the videos for your
Kickstarter? Yeah, I mean, he's a rock star.
Those are very well done, dude. Very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. So the original lineup was going to be Athos, The Job, and Kroom. Just those three. And then I'm just like, John has this mantra of go big or go home. And I don't know if I necessarily prescribe to that all the time. I like to be more calculated. Yeah. But I was just if I'm gonna start my own company, this comic has already proven that it's successful, that people like it.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Let's do it. Let's bring it over. And then Afram Jambalai, who is a high school friend of mine, he's an actor. He's been on Daredevil. He's been on a ton of stuff. He's a second degree black belt in Shotokan. He's, you know, a theater professional. Like, he's a jack of all trades. He's a great interviewer, awesome. Too. He's got his own podcast. Amazing. And what happened was he introduced me to Hank Kwan from Bulletproof Comics, which is like the biggest comic book store in Brooklyn. And he saw Condry and he was just like, bro, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then he just outlined all of the things that he felt that I needed to do to get Condry to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Afram was the one that like started that conversation. He introduced me to Hank and stuff. So then we ended up having coffee and he's like, actually, I have an idea. And he starts pitching me this idea for what would become Legend of the Night Owl. And it's just like this gritty noir, like kung fu story. And I'm just like, this could take place in the same universe as Condry. You know that, right?
And man.
And he's like, yeah, man, it can. And The Job already takes place in the Condryverse already. So,
So yeah, it's just this like, gets me excited, man. See, I like when things are connected. I like when things are connected, man, because it's a very comic book thing to do. Like, such as, I don't know if it's also because maybe we're living in a world right now where like Marvel and DC and everything and like all those movies are all connected, you know, but it's a very comic book thing to do. I know there's a lot of people out there, maybe not a lot, but there are people out there that when it comes to, for instance, the Marvel and DC movies, some people that would rather have the standalone films back and not have everything all connected all the time. But I dig that, man. I dig when things are connected because it's a very comic book-esque thing to do. In the comics, everything is connected in a sense. Stories are connected and different characters are doing different things all at the same time while this is happening and this is happening. And I really dig that. And I did not know that there was going to be a Condryverse, and that makes me really excited, man.
Yeah. So like, we're pretty sure Athos and Kroom are not going to be a part of that, but you never know, but probably not because they're both like more sci-fi and superhero and in nature and stuff like that. But
makes sense.
So we were just, John and I were talking the business plan and had we were doing this for like 4 months. We were doing this from like August to November. So my first thing was I wanted to tie up all of my loose ends and do everything that I had promised LKC and get that all out of the way. So this way, when I started, you know, there would be no hard feelings and no loose ends and things like that. So we took care of that.
Right, yeah.
And then it was just like a week later, we started the Kickstarter and so many people were like, wait, so you just left and you just started the Kickstarter. And I'm like, no, because I mean, I would go to John's basement like once a week and we would sit down for 4 hours and just bang out like, all right, this is what a creator contract is going to look like. This is what we want the site to be. This is, we need merch. We need this, we need that. And I mean, we were ready November 5th. I mean, we were ready. And, man, to get it funded in less than 5 hours was insane, you know?
Right, yeah, that is a feat right there, man. That is an accomplishment, dude. That is awesome that people are supporting like that, and they very well should.
Thank you.
You mentioned Kroom. Kroom's another exciting one that's coming to Legacy Comics that I'm really digging here. It's based on an indie game of the same name, one we spoke about the last time that I had you on, which was by Orange Door Studios and was being animated by BioShock Infinite's Pete Paquette. And you're kind of bringing the video game world to the comic book world here with this one for several reasons. And if you're just like a video game fan, you're not really a fan of comic books or anything, you're just a gamer, I feel like this one is going to really bridge the gap between the gamers and the comic book fans, man. I'm hearing you're going to end each issue of this comic with boss battles. I mean, what's going on with Croom, man?
So yeah, that was like definitely like all of our properties. We try and create something to create a new comic book fan, but then also to bring in somebody from another medium and also to connect with comic book fans. Right. So we feel like Croom hits on like all three of those things. So Croom got killed because of COVID. We were designing the second level of the game and then development just like completely slowed down. But the story was written. It was done. I wrote the story for the game. I was super proud of it. And then like when development really like kind of went on hiatus and stopped, I was just like, I'm sitting on this great story. And it's kind of like Legend of Zelda meets like Ninja Gaiden meets like Celeste. Amazing. It's like those three things mixed into one. And it's like, imagine if Link had a gun, you know, like it's just like a really fun, the game is fun. But I felt like the story was really solid. So I spoke to Pete and we already had it written into my contract that I would have rights to bring the story to another medium. He had to approve the artist and he did. John went through several iterations of like the Croom design to make sure that Pete was happy with it and things like that. So all of the comics besides Condry number 4 in the Kickstarter is going to be a full 24-page issue. All of the other comics are going to be what they're called ash cans, which are basically like 6 to 8 page comics. They're basically like teasers, you know?
Right.
So you get a full story, like beginning, middle, and end, but it's more like, this is like what we're capable of doing. It's kind of like Condry Zero, what Condry Zero was, you know? Yeah.
Right, right.
So Croom Zero isn't going to feature a boss battle. Croom Zero is kind of going to be like the opening cinematic before the first level. You know, that's kind of like what it's going to feel like.
Like a teaser trailer in a sense, something like that. Right.
The whole like backstory of the world. And then right before like level one starts.
That's perfect. That's awesome.
Thank you. The design document of Croom is 6 levels long. So each issue of Croom is going to be filling out the backstory, the exploration of this like level. Obviously, more backstory, more development of the story, and then it's going to end in a boss fight, you know?
Dude, so, this is awesome. I'm like geeking out a little bit.
It's funny,
this
though.
This is really cool, actually.
Because it's like video game level design lends itself so perfectly to comic book writing, and it's never been done before.
It's a revolutionary idea. Yeah, I don't know why it hasn't like when, happened before. Translates so perfect.
I don't know why it hasn't been done either, you know? I'm super hyped for Croom. And then we're going to announce, I don't know when this is going to air, but like we're going to announce the variant art for it on in a couple of days. And it's just totally, totally beautiful. So, I mean, this is a comic that comic book fans will like. This is a comic that video game fans will like. And this is like the type of story that like if you grew up during the 80s and you like sci-fi type stuff, you'll totally eat it up. So like I'm super proud of this script. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Croom is definitely going to be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of geeking out a little bit inside because that sounds like really cool. I can't wait to see that come to life, man. You're really taking different approaches with the comics that you're going to have a part of Legacy Comics, such as one that was also originally a play. You have a script that was originally written as a play entitled The Job, which we mentioned a little bit earlier, and you have decided to make it into a comic.
Yeah. So again, this is another thing where COVID killed my play. So COVID killed my video game. COVID killed my play.
Yeah.
The way it started was funny though, because it's like I was working on finishing the Minds Behind Shooter games, and my actor friend is like, "How come you've never written a play before?" And I was like, "I hate you."
Because now I got to do it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I was
you
like,
"Brought it up, now I got to go get it done.
I got to do it." And he was just like, "Well, what would you do?" I'm like. Not what would I do? I'm like, when do you need to buy? And it was like Halloween of 2019. Mm-hmm. And he's like, by like Thanksgiving. And I was like, I could do that. So then a week later, the idea for the job, I had written the entire 3-act play. And it's basically, it's like if you combine Mickey Rourke's The Wrestler with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze's Point Break.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. So there's a wrestler. His name is Dan Dero. And he's a jobber. He loses every match. But he has the best gear. He looks like $1 million. He has the hottest valet, who's also his wife. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, this guy, why is this guy wrestle for? Like, yeah. He's never going to get a push. Like, for some reason, why does he do this? And the thing is, he just loves it. And people will ask him because he's like this, you know, unassuming guy. He's a super of an apartment building in Brooklyn. So he does that during the day. And at night he wrestles for like, you know, $20-$30. But people are always like, man, we've seen the building that you manage. Like, how do you afford to like buy like all like your wife's clothes, like your gear? And he's just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm frugal. Well, the answer is that he robs banks. And he's excellent at robbing banks. And the cool part is he is probably like the biggest wrestling fan in the entire world. And for every bank robbery, he wears a different lucha mask.
What a twist. So, you know?
Yeah.
This could be like a series too, man.
Wait,
like, and I'm playing it out in my head as you're talking to me. Like, I could see this being on like Netflix or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it makes sense because you wrote it as a
play. Wait, it gets better.
Originally, so it makes sense.
Yeah. But the best part is that he doesn't rob the banks alone. His wife, who is his valet when he wrestles, like his Miss Elizabeth to Macho Man Randy Savage. She's his getaway driver.
nice partner in crime, right?
And she's the brains, you know? Like, you know, when he wrestles, like he loves the super kick and she's just like, listen, the super kick ain't gonna get you anywhere. You need to like use the dragon sleeper. You need to do this, blah, blah, blah. Like she's the one that like goes into the banks and is like, listen, this place has two exits in the back and one in the front, blah, blah, blah. This place would be perfect for us to run. So it's like they have the perfect relationship. They are completely ride or die in everything that they do together. Yeah. And
dynamic duo in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to write. And
yeah, I bet.
Like I said, Dan, the name of the wrestler is Dan, and his wife is Beverly, and they will absolutely play a part in Condry at some point.
Oh, that is awesome.
It's already been written and stuff like that. So it's just like, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
So like I said, Dog Day Afternoon, Point Break, mm-hmm. and Mickey Rourke's the wrestler, all combined. Yeah. Like if like Quentin Tarantino wrote a wrestling comic book, that's kind of like the way that it would feel, you know?
Right. I'm loving this, dude. This is awesome, man. You've got video games that you're turning into comic books. You've got plays that you're turning into comics. I mean, everything that's coming up for Legacy Comics is looking like it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm really digging this so far. I mean, what's next, dude? You got any secrets that you could throw on the table here? I mean, what's going on?
I mean, for me, it's just like growing up, Brian Michael Bendis was like one of my heroes. I mean, this guy was writing like 3 or 4 series for Marvel at the same time. So like for me to not only be the editor in chief of Legacy, but to also be writing 3 out of the 5 books. I mean,
yeah.
I always tell people like, don't try and emulate your heroes, try and be better. And I don't know if I will ever be better than Brian Michael Bendis, cause that's like next to impossible, but I'm sure going to try.
No, you got a good thing going, man. For sure.
Yeah. And it's between, you know, that, and then, you know, I've got 3 more Minds Behind the Games books coming. I'm doing voice acting in a whole slew of games. I'm doing This Week in Gaming history videos for Mega Cat Studios now on YouTube.
Awesome, dude.
So, I mean,
that is awesome.
Everything is going really good. Legacy is like super important to me. I'm super excited about these 3 books, but then, I mean, we have 2 other books that are, that's the thing. Like, there's no lemons.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the other 2 books are super strong too. And I'm super excited about those books too. So Athos and Legend of the Night Owl, those are both 2 really cool books too.
Yeah. You have a couple other comics that are coming to Legacy Comics, and I want to give people just enough to reel them in, but leave enough for them to go explore on their own, you know, and as well as tons of more information on the Legacy Comics Kickstarter, as well as awesome perks for all those who donate. I'm definitely going to be donating because this is something that I have a lot of faith in for sure. How long is left on the Kickstarter, and how long after it closes can we expect to see the ball rolling within Legacy Comics?
So it's the crazy thing. I'm pretty sure there's 36 days left. And the thing is, we did a 60-day Kickstarter instead of a 30-day Kickstarter because we did not know
how it was going to go.
And I was just like, I planned this super lengthy media tour of like, I mean, I'm going to be on like 25 podcasts over the next, like, yeah, you know, 3 weeks.
Yeah. I've been seeing you going, you've been on a lot of podcasts that I'm actually friends with too. A lot of people that I speak to, yeah, and people that I'm in cahoots with and everything. And some that I'm supposed to be collaborating with in the future. So shout out to, yeah, them, man. Amazing.
Had no idea, you know? So now it's just kind of like, it's been a marathon. It's been nuts. So like January 4th, it's over. So the good thing is, by January 4th, the comics are going to be finished. All the comics that we're selling are going to be finished, and they're going to be ready to go. So as soon as like the check clears from Kickstarter, then we just have to have the comics printed and sent out. So like we're aiming for like the end of January, like within 3 weeks that everyone is going to have their stuff, you know? So the only way that that changes is there's definitely like right now there's a supply issue, a global supply chain issue with paper. Yeah. So that could slow us down. But I mean, there are, I've backed Kickstarters before where I didn't get comics for like 6 or 7 months. And then like at LKC, we did a Kickstarter in like April and people didn't like really get their stuff until like September or October, like 6 months later. And that's not going to happen, yeah, with us. Yeah. So, within a month after the Kickstarter is over, everyone's going to have their stuff, because the bottom line is like, we already have a publication schedule set up for a year. Like it's already done. So like, as soon as these first five comics are finished, the team is going to get to work on issue one of their series. And for me, like Condry 5 and so forth and so forth. And like I said, I told you Condry's written for like the next year, but Kroom is done.
Nice.
And the job is done. I've written all of this like in advance of time. So this way I could help not only promote and do those things, but I mean, I also run legacycomics.com. I'm the person that like runs that site. So we have daily updated content every single day, which makes us super different from every other indie, because most indie comic book companies, it's just a store. You know, we have interviews with the writers, the inkers. We have people that share tribute art on Instagram. I tell them, send it over. We'll feature you on the site. Like we're all about like promoting people. Yeah. We are essentially a professional publishing house that promotes itself like a professional wrestling brand,
right?
You know, so I mean,
that's great.
I had to write all of my stuff in a year in advance to make sure that like all of these pieces went into place. Like I literally feel like, I was joking around with somebody the other day, but I literally feel like Paul Heyman, you know, like from ECW back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, because all of the artists,
he's a hard worker, man.
He is, you know. But I feel like all of the artists and the writers that are working with us, no one knows, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like ECW, like we're going to be showing people these artists and writers for the first time. And they're going to be like, well, where are these people? And these people are going to tell you their stories. And they're going to be like, well, we wanted to pitch to Image and Image never got back to us. Or, oh, we didn't think our stuff was good enough. Blah, 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 blah. Like when you guys see the variant colors, the variant cover for Kroom, the artist that did the pencils, ink, and the colors all by himself wasn't confident in his coloring ability. Uh-huh. He was just like, oh, maybe you should get somebody else to color it. And I'm like, well, you penciled it and inked it. Dude, you're a rock star. Color it, finish it. And he goes, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, do it. And when you guys see this, you're going to be like, this guy wasn't sure if he could color it. Like, are you serious?
Yeah,
so it's just like, I'm that person, you know. I'm talking to everyone every day and checking up on everyone, seeing how everyone's doing and stuff. And we have a really solid team of people, and we're looking to get bigger.
Right, 100%.
I don't want to say sooner than later. These five books have to hit, you know, they have to like gain some traction. But like after that happens, I mean, I would, by this time next year, we definitely like to add another book or two to like the fold, you know. And we want the right people. It's kind of like, to make a hockey reference, it's just like the New Jersey Devils won all those Stanley Cups and they never really had a superstar. They just had people that fit into certain spots, or like the Patriots, you know, like, you know, the Patriots won all those Super Bowls and stuff. And it's just like, they didn't necessarily have superstars. They had people that did what they needed to do to like, for the, you know. And that's kind of, those are the types of people that we're looking to bring in. People that make deadlines, people that are hungry, you know, people that promote on social media. I mean, that's such a huge thing now, because
it's important. Yeah.
So, I mean, we mentioned this before, that all of the writers and artists have control over their IPs. So if we're going to hire you and we're going to pay the publishing for the publishing of your book, we're going to promote the hell out of you, but you got to promote the hell out of yourself too.
Exactly.
You know? Right. So it's just like, if we see somebody just like, oh, well, this is nice, that they're going to print my book and they're going to promote me and I'm just going to sit here. That's not going to work either. Yeah. You know, like I said, we're looking for people to fit into the puzzle. Yeah. And we just added an inker and a colorer, Chris McCauley, and he's super talented. Like he works with Bram Stoker's great nephew, who's like in control of the whole like universe and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's doing coloring and inking for us. Oh, and he's just like a super talented guy. And he fit the mold that we needed. Yeah. So that's what next year at this time, that's what we're going to be looking to do. Add some pieces. And we are super hyped. I mean, we have so many things planned,
excited.
So we're mega excited.
Yeah, I am stoked for it, man. You said besides the people that just donated with the perks and everything, you said they're going to get their perks almost right away towards the end of the month of January. Is that for everyone though as well? Other than the people that just donated, everybody will be able to get their hands on
these. So the thing is, like, our store has worked since day one. So we have merch on the store. We have mugs, t-shirts, the whole nine yards. But after the Kickstarter is over, we're going to add all of the comics to the Kickstarter. So people can purchase them digitally and physically on our website. But they're also going to be available on Comixology, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, you know, all of those places. And then we have relationships with several comic book stores in the Northeast that just based alone on the success of Conjury and my resume as a writer, that they're like, yeah, we'll take comics from you. You know, so if you want our comics, you will be able to get them.
That's awesome, man. For the people that want to get their hands on Conjury and everything right now, where can people get the issues of Conjury that are out right now?
So that's the thing. When I left Lesser Known Comics, I had them remove all of the comics from their site because, they were being given away, and I feel like that they're worth something.
Makes sense.
So, what we're doing as a part of the Kickstarter is we're remastering Conjury 0 through 3, basically color correcting the pages, relettering them, cropping them properly, and those are going to be available digitally and physically. So, I mean, I love the way those comics came out for Lesser Known, but then just like when you have complete creative control and you can do more, why not? You know? So,
I agree.
If you have those issues already from Lesser Known, you will be able to tell a difference between those and the legacy one. So, those will be,
I have the ones from Lesser Known. So,
And they'll be available like right after the Kickstarter. So they'll be available digitally. And I mean, those are done already. It's just, we don't want to put them out because then that would, you know, screw with the Kickstarter and stuff like that. But,
makes sense.
We're super excited. We have so many things planned for we're gearing up. We're very close to our 7K stretch goal. And so we've already announced a trading card set because like we're all 90s comic book guys and we loved all the trading cards and stuff. Yeah. But like,
remember those days?
Hell yeah. You learned so much about the characters just from the cards, you know? And then you went out and bought more comics, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but when you guys see what we have planned for 7K, you're definitely, if you're a 90s comic book fan, early 2000s comic book fan, you're going to be like, yeah, these guys get it, you know? And
that's awesome.
Cannot wait, you know? So by the time like this whole Kickstarter is over, we want to make sure that like every one of our 5 series has gotten some tender love and care. So like already, Conjury 0 through 3 are getting remastered. Then Athos, I'm not sure if you saw the announcement today, but the cover of Athos Zero was actually inked by DC and Marvel Comics, LeBeau Underwood. He inked the cover of it for us, and it's beautiful. John's coloring it right now. So, but also, that cover is also going to be a hologram cover, totally old school, you know? So we're only going to release like 25 or 50 copies of the hologram cover. So it's going to be like super rare, like get it slabbed, you know, the whole nine yards. We're just super hyped. You know, 2022 is going to be important.
I can't wait for
you know,
me,
yeah. And thank you for your support, man.
Of course, dude. I mean, but how do you find the time? I mean, we are going to get ready to wrap up here, but I do just want to ask real quick because I know this is more legacy comic centric, but you still are, for those that don't know, the author of the Minds Behind the Games book series. And I know you're still very passionate about that. I mean, how do you find the time with everything that's going on? Are you still working on that? What's going on with the Minds Behind the Games book series?
Yeah, there's 3 more books coming out. So there's the Minds Behind. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and two are completely written, and so the Minds Behind the Genesis game is supposed to be coming out like December, January.
We're talking about that,
and that's a beast. I love that book. Then this spring, the minds behind Sony PlayStation games coming out, and that's all PS1. That's all PS1 games. Awesome. So, but we're talking to, like, I interviewed the person that was the first person in North America to see Aeris die.
Oh, yeah.
And him just telling the story of all of the testers getting to, like, the same place in the game at the same time, mm-hmm. and the first tester crying and being like, dude, she's dead. And all the other testers like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And then he's like, don't play anymore. Yeah. And then they're like, no, we have to. And then it's just like, you have like 10 people in a room all experiencing Sephiroth killing Aeris for the first time. Like, that's one of my favorite things that I've ever written. So, so you got the minds behind the Genesis games, the minds behind the PlayStation games, which is this spring. And then I'm in the midst of finishing the minds behind PlayStation 2 games. And that's probably going to come out in like 2023. Okay. So I have like 34 games already confirmed and written for that already. That's been a lot of fun. That book has been a lot of fun. So those three are coming out. And then, like I said, I'm doing voiceover in like four games right now, that are in development. Mm-hmm. And, but like, I can't talk about it too much because of like NDAs and stuff. But there's one game that I'm doing the voice of like over 100 characters. Oh my God. And it is like,
that's so much work.
It's been so much fun.
How do you do it though, man?
So the thing is, I'm going to tell you the God honest, dirty Brooklyn truth. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand when somebody says I don't have the time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I do it sometimes too. Cause like my wife will be like, oh, you need to go do this. And I'm like, I don't have the time, but it's always like, my wife says it to me all the time, but you'll find the time to do this and you'll find the time to do that. So, I make the time.
Everything that Patrick has going on, he is also a family man on top of it. He has children and a wife and everything. You guys, this man is living proof that you can do what you want to do. You can make the time to do the things that you want.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You know, it's just like, I mean, it's 10 o'clock now, you know, and I still have to write when this is over. Like, I have to write because like NXT is on now. So I have to cover NXT for my site. And then I had to grade papers because I'm a college professor. Right. And it's just like, sometimes at night, I'm just like, shit.
You are definitely an inspiration, man. And I'm not gassing you up. I'm being dead honest with you. I literally love everything that you've got going on. Legacy Comics is really looking to be an amazing thing here. And if you guys want to know more about it, I advise you definitely go check out the Kickstarter. You should definitely back it. You can back it for as low as $1, $10. And the higher you go up, the better the perks get. It's absolutely amazing. You guys know how Kickstarters work, but you definitely should back this one because they've got, if you stay till the end, they've got amazing things going on here. If you're looking for more of Patrick, you can find him at Patrick Hickey Jr. on Instagram, and that's Hickey with an EY at the end. If you're looking for Legacy Comics, please follow them at Legacy_Comics with an X at the end. And the Minds Behind the Games book series is also on Instagram at the Minds Behind the Games with an underscore in between each word. Patrick, is there anything else that you want to say before we get out of here, man?
The only other thing that I want to say is that if you grew up during the 90s and you love comics, we have something for you. If you're watching all of these comic book movies now and they hit home, we have something for you. If you just want original stories that are fun, we have something for you. We're trying to create experiences for people that transcend comic books, that kind of make you want to see them in other places. So like, I'm not sure if you know this, but like there are two video game developers that are actively working on a Comdry video game right now, you know?
Oh,
so
what?
I mean,
what?
So, I mean, awesome, like, that's the thing. Like we want to tell story. We want to tell great comic book stories first. And then if they happen to like go and do this and go and do that, that would be great. Yeah. But like bottom line is like, we're reaching out to like all of those 30 somethings that love comics and their kids that like, you know, or those people that are 30 now, they have kids that are like, you know, 8, 9, 10, whatever, that are getting into comics and they're getting into their parents' comics.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we just want to tell really fun, organic stories. We don't want to pander to anyone. We don't want any politics in our comics. We just want like really fun, awesome, real stories, you know? So, thank you.
Man, I am really looking forward to all of this. Like I said, I am super excited for this. You guys, please go back to Kickstarter. I'll put all the links in the description below on YouTube and everything, and you can find everything on all those Instagrams as well. Patrick, I thank you so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate this coming on for the second time. Absolutely awesome to talk to you. Always a great time with you. Always super informative, man. And I wish you the best of luck with everything that you've got going on. I don't think that you're going to need it, but I'm going to wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, man. It means a lot coming from you. I appreciate it.
Wow. So much awesome stuff coming out of Legacy Comics, man. Shout out to Patrick. Shout out to everybody involved with Legacy Comics. I cannot wait to get my hands on a lot of these things. I'm being dead honest with you. Excuse me if throughout this interview or throughout this episode or anything that I seem a little lower energy or anything. I'm just like, you could probably tell, I'm just super tired. It's been one of those weeks. You know how it goes. Chazosaurus Rex mug. But you know we can't get out of here yet. We've got one more thing to tackle. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week! Hey, listen, this week's Cosplay of the Week is none other than on Instagram, euphoria.bjc, and I'm throwing it up on the screen right about now, and it is of Sheik from The Legend of Zelda. Oh my goodness. Euphoria.bjc on Instagram. Sheik from The Legend of Zelda. And it looks absolutely amazing. Holy spadoinkle. Bridget J. Cosplay, custom made costume designer, model, actress, creator, cosplayer, real life rogue, please don't kill me, Rapid City, South Dakota, absolutely amazing. She says all the detail on this costume was a ton of fun to make. I need an excuse to wear Sheik again. And the photo is by Kamiko Cosplay on Instagram, and that is C. I was going to say K at first there. Oh my goodness. It is at Kamiko Cosplay on Instagram. And Kamiko Cosplay, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, I'm guessing that's what it is an award-winning cosplay photographer. That is absolutely dope. That is absolutely dope. I'm going to look way more into your stuff. Because that's dope. If you're an award-winning photographer, you must have amazing stuff, such as this photo right here. You guys have captured the background perfectly, the essence of The Legend of Zelda perfectly. I am a giant Legend of Zelda fan. You can see behind me here, I've got all kinds of Legend of Zelda stuff. My favorite game is Twilight Princess Euphoria. Which one is yours? Let me know. This is absolutely dope. It looks exactly like Sheik. You've got the headgear thing going on, the wrap going on there. You've got the mask going on. You can even see the ears. You got the elven ears going on there. I absolutely love it. The colors are so perfect. I actually really dig the colors. I like colors like that. As you can kind of see, wearing a blue sweater right now with the Side Project logo. It's all that kind of, those kind of colors. So I really dig that. Accents in white, accents in yellow and everything. The Sheikah Tribe logo on your dagger there is absolutely amazing. You've also got the Sheikah Tribe going on the, what are they called? The shin guards. I'm calling them shin guards. That's what I'm calling them. I'm a little tired. If you guys haven't seen the rest of this episode, Euphoria and Kamiko, I'm exhausted. But we interviewed Patrick Hickey Jr., an awesome dude. If you guys feel like checking that out, go check it out. But this cosplay is absolutely dope. I really dig this. It is perfect. You captured the essence of Sheik perfectly. You captured the essence of The Legend of Zelda in the background with the forest vibe and everything. This is absolutely dope, and I really, really dig it. Euphoria's got all kinds of awesome cosplays on her Instagram. Tons more, not just Sheik, all kinds of stuff. So please go follow Euphoria at euphoria.bjc on Instagram. I keep calling you Euphoria, but your name is actually Bridget, but you know how it goes. You know how it goes. Hey, listen. Ladies and gentlemen, oh God, Euphoria, your cosplay of the week, Sheik cosplay of the week for me is amazing. Chazosaurus Rex mug. Oh man. 101 episodes. Oh my goodness. Zip up hoodies are now available on the Side Project store. On the Side Project merch store, you can get zip up hoodies right now. All that's available right now is the Side Project logo one, just the regular Side Project logo one in a bunch of different colors. But I plan to have more zip-up hoodies. Plan to have more. Look, they're nice, good hoodies too. It even fits with the whole headphones on. What am I talking about, you guys? I'm tired. I'm gonna get out of here. Thank you guys for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all of those things that you do over on YouTube.com/Side Project Podcast. When you go down, you hit that big red subscribe button that says "Hiya," and you get 100 sexy project points. Thank you for listening on Apple, Google, Spotify, and all those things that you listen on. When you rate and you review, and you give the thumbs up, and you do all those things. Thank you very much. It really helps out the channel. Oh God, yes. If you're looking for me, you can find me at IG Hates Chazzy, and everything else you need to find me on is right here. Right here. You can tap on it if you want. It's not gonna go anywhere because it's not tappable, but you can tap on it if you want. Just tap on it. Go ahead. It's close to my nipple, so you might be tapping my nipple just a little bit, just a tiny bit. If you're looking for the podcast as a whole, you can find it at Side Project Podcast on Instagram. Oh God. Go back that Legacy Comics Kickstarter. I am out of here.